We were going to do something else this morning, and yesterday morning the Lord woke me up with these words, and you can put up that first slide. Good roots, good fruits. And I know immediately all the apple wooders said, oh, is that not, I want to say, unfortunately, all the apple wooders that's here, there's three other schools in the world that has exactly the same logo. So there's no patent on that, there's no royalties on that. I made sure. Good roots, good fruits is available for use. And so that is I woke up yesterday morning with these words, good roots, good fruits. And that what we're going to speak about this morning is about being rooted in Jesus and being rooted in Christ. But before we go there, I want to tell you about my love that I discovered for fruit and vegetables. Who of you have got a love for fruit and vegetables? I'm very much there. Not all broccoli and picky pompoon is not always the best. But I discovered, and I was in the privileged position to not just eat fruit and vegetables, but we were able to produce fruit and vegetables for a season in our life. There was a piece of land next to our house here in Krobo, and so we bought the piece of land. And the Lord gave us this instruction to do vegetable gardens there. So we planted some fruit trees and we did. And I remember the first two years, I think, my timelines are always blurry, but I think that the first 2 years, as we were planting vegetables, it was horrible. I planted and I worked and I weeded and we did all kinds of things, but it was just a total flop. When the seedlings that eventually germinated and came up, what the birds didn't eat, it produced fruit, but it was this tiny little things that was almost useless. And after 2 years, we thought, now we're going to throw in the towel. And I've got a picture for you, and I'm hoping the picture will do it justice. Now, it looks not that bad, but I'm going to show you some other pictures in just a second, and then you will show what it can look like if we do it rightly. But you will see there's some open patches. That was the one on the left, was the green beans field. And if you see the amount of seeds that we put into the soil and the plants that actually came up, that's about 25% of what we actually put into the ground that actually came up. And it was just a flop. It was just a flop. And I was at the point to say, listen, we're going to... And the way that we did it almost commercially. So I had a whim that sold the seeds to me. And so he said to me, listen, now you must throw this fertilizer. And now you must do this. But what happened is we basically started the treatment process of the vegetables after it came out of the ground. Then you do the fertilizer. And what happens is you're basically fertilizing and then giving that turbo boost to the plant after it has come out of the ground. Then you're giving the turbo boost, and then you're basically just feeding what is already there. And so 2 weeks before we had to start planting in that season, I said to Leonie, listen, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's just costing us money. The fertilizer and everything is just too much, and we're going to leave it. And we thought we're going to end it there. And then we heard about people in Port Elizabeth that did vegetable training. They are called Farming God's Way, and I've told you guys about this before. And so we went for training, and you'll see this picture of David that did some vegetable training with us, and you'll see that he's the first thing that they taught us is you go down into the ground. That's where you prepare the most. It's not what you do after the plant has come out of the soil, but it is actually what you do before you plant the seeds, is how you prepare the soil. And so there's a certain depth in which you make the soil. There's a way that you prepare the soil itself that you're going to be planting on, and all kinds of different things. But also, and you can go to the next slide, there's old George. He's making together there. We went to Oak Valley and we collected manure, cow manure, poo, basically, for Divati Vietni. And so we collected the cow poo, and I was there, but I didn't do anything. I was like, oh, Georgie, there's a little bit more there, and you know. And so we collected this, and what you do is basically when you plant, when you do the trenches, there where you're going to do plant the seed, you put in manure, just a little bit, not too much. You put some manure there, and also some wood ash there that just helps with the pH of the soil. So by the time that the seedling, when the seed germinates, and its roots goes, there's food for the roots. Because what they taught us is if the root system of the plant is good, then the plant will be good. And it doesn't help when you try and treat the plant after the roots have been set, because the root system is the most important part of the plant. And that's what they taught us. And then it was amazing how it transformed the garden. There's one last slide that you can show how it transformed the gardens. That's the green beans that looked, and there's the baby marrows. That cauliflower that I'm holding up there was a 1.8 kilogram cauliflower. It was the biggest cauliflower that we produced one year. It was absolutely amazing. And it just transformed the way and our ability to do vegetables, because we started with the roots. And that's what God has for us as well. It's so often that we want to treat in ourselves, and we want to go and treat the symptoms and some things that's underlying, or not underlying, but you know, the top part, the leaves, what you can see. But God is interested in coming down to the roots. And it is important for us to sometimes focus on our roots and how well am I rooted in the things of the Lord in anything that I do. And so let's go to Scripture, Matthew 7. We're going to kick off there this morning. It says, Matthew 7, verse 17, it says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, and this is nogal a bit of a chilling verse, this one, if you read this one. It says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And it was very interesting to me. You see that sentence, you can keep that scripture up. It says, every good tree, and then it uses the same word, good fruit, in our English translation. But if you go to the original text, there's actually two different, it is still the word good, so it's not like they translated it incorrectly. It's still the word good, but there's just a deeper meaning to each one. The first one, when it speaks about the tree, is the word agathos. And that means it's inherently good. It is as to the believer, and it describes what originates from God. So when it speaks about every good tree, it means a tree that has its origin, it has its source in God. That is what makes a good tree. You can't be a good tree in yourself. We don't have the ability to be good trees in ourselves because of our sinful nature, because of sin around us. We can't be the good trees. We need to find that in the Lord Jesus. And so that's why they use that word when they say a good tree. It's not our goodness. I'm not the good tree. It's actually Jesus in me that makes me a good tree. And then it says the second word that it used for good fruit. That speaks about something that I can produce. And I love that part. When Jesus works in me and through me, then I have the ability to produce something. And that word is, what it means is that it is something beautiful that is produced. And it is something that inspires people. And it is something that motivates people that is around us. And so when we get to that place where we get to actually produce fruit from our lives, which is good works and all the fruits of the Spirit, it is actually something that one another, it inspires one another, but also the world looks at us, the world that doesn't know Jesus, and they're supposed to look at us as good trees, and it represents something of Jesus' ability to do something beautiful in and through me. And so when we're at work and when we're at school or wherever we find ourselves, people are supposed to look at our lives and they're supposed to see something of Jesus and the beauty of Jesus through the fruit of my life. And that can only happen when I'm properly rooted in Jesus Christ. Is jy met my? Lekker man. So I want to say no fruit will be good fruit if it is not rooted and produced in Jesus Christ. That the Bible is very clear about that. He needs to be the source. And being rooted in Christ isn't rocket science. I'm not going to bring you a new revelation this morning or something that you haven't heard before. Being rooted in Christ is having a relationship with the person of Jesus. There's nothing more than that. That is what it means. If you want to be rooted in Christ, you have to have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. And so let's go and see. Jesus speaks here. And this is, so the first one was Matthew 7. And so he's going on. We're continuing still in Matthew 7. Now from verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Verse 22, Namila Mwelesabi, this is one again we spoke about, I think Craig just mentioned about, you know, the Holy Spirit working through us and the gift of the Spirit that we want to see active amongst us. But look at verse 22, what he mentions here. "Many will say to me that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?'" Is that not a gift of the Spirit? "And then he will say, 'In your name, and in your name drive out demons.'" Is that not a gift of the Spirit to discern and to be able to, in the power of, that's a gift, isn't it? And then he says, "And in your name perform many miracles." The gift of faith, is that not a gift of the Spirit? And so then he goes on, he says, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you." And so there's a part where we look at the Scripture and we realize that if even sometimes when there's a gift flowing, and it is not rooted in Christ, if he's not the source, if he's not the motivation, if he's not the one that's behind that, then we don't know. And I love the way that Jesus actually phrased this. He says, "I never knew you." And so he talks about the personal connection, and he talks about the almost this thing as if, and this is what Jesus almost says. Jesus says this. He says, I gifted you with gifts. I gave you gifts to do many works in my name. But the problem is you did the things in my name and not with me. That's almost what I read into that. Is that we can do things in the name of him. And when Craig started this journey about being ambassadors of Christ, and so being ambassadors of Christ, we can do things in the name of Jesus and as ambassadors of him. But a lot safer place to do these things from is in relationship with him, and to do these things with him rather than just in his name. Because when I'd want to go up to him one day and I said, "Lord, I did a lot of things," I want him to say, "Yeah, I was there. It was amazing, wasn't it? I love doing these things with you, Willem. It was such an adventure to do these things with you every step of the way." And I think that's what God's heart is, to do these things. Let's let Jesus explain this again to us. We're going to use Jesus again to set the tone and explain to us what does it mean to be rooted in Christ. We're going to go to John, and it's Jesus speaking again. "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." I love how Jesus was rooted in the Father. He didn't do anything, and that means what he says there. "I didn't do one miracle. I never had a conversation. I was always led by the Father. The Father instructed me. The Father showed me. And as I was doing it, I was waiting on the Father to release me, to say, now is the time." And so when you read the Scripture, when you go through all of the miracles and the things that Jesus did, read it with that at the back of your mind, and you realize when Jesus went to the well and he met that lady there, who was the one that sent him there? Was God, the Father, because Jesus didn't do anything if the Father didn't instruct him. And so Jesus was so rooted in the Father. He was so rooted that he didn't do anything outside of that. And I want to ask you the question this morning. How well rooted are you this morning? As we give on a stock take for our name, how well rooted am I this morning? You know, there was even some conversations with us, Gideon. Gideon hier ons huis hier in Grabouw, and I had this joke that I told him about a car that I once bought, and after I bought this car, one thing broke down after the other, and so Gideon and Yolande, there was some man hierdie bulb breek en dan is dit hierdie ding wat breek en alles. And there was one message that he sent me with the last one where there was a bit of a mishap again with what happened. And I gave him a one-liner response. And after the one-liner response, I thought to myself, I wonder how rooted in Christ that response was. Because I thought to myself, ek dink al Gideon voel nou 'n bietjie sleg daar. And I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I thought to myself, being rooted in Christ determines what my response is in every situation. And I'm not saying that we're going to go to that now. I'm not saying we have to be perfect all of the time. We're going to have bad responses. We're going to do one-liners instead of rather sending a voice note to say, "Moenie worry nie my maat, dit gaan okay wees. Moenie worry nie my maat, this is these things happen in sending just a one-liner so ek stuur iemand môre." And it's true. Our responses, how rooted is it? And so I realized this week again and afresh, and I asked myself, Lord, how rooted am I in the things that I do? How rooted am I at work in the things that I do? What is the reason, my motivation when I work? What is the motivation when I come to church? What is the motivation when I go to a Wednesday evening community? Why do I do it? Because I have to? Or is it because I want to be there and because I love Jesus and I love to be amongst these people? What is the motivation behind that? And so take stock. I'm going to give you a moment. Just take stock. Ask yourself this question. Close your eyes. Ask yourself this question. Holy Spirit, how well rooted am I? How well rooted am I? My actions, my reactions, my thoughts this week, my responses to the challenges that come my way, the things that you sometimes ask and expect of me, the commands that you give me, the missions that you send me on, how well rooted am I this morning in the things that you are asking of me? John 15, julle kan maar julle oogies oopmaak, ons gaan nou weer lees. Let's go on. John 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." That was what it means to be rooted in him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I love that part. And so when we take stock, when we ask us the Lord, "Lord, how well am I doing?" It's important that we read that part where Jesus says, actually, you should be not being able to do anything outside of me. So when we do take stock, it is not to feel bad about ourselves. It's not to feel judgment or condemned because, oh, yes, I am really useless. No, it is actually to help us to point towards that place where apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And so taking stock is not supposed to be depressing to us. Taking stock is actually supposed to take us towards Jesus and not further from him. Does it make sense? If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Again, that thing gives me a little bit of chills. I'm not going deep into that scripture. You can take from it what you want. But for me, in my own conviction, I'm reading that and I'm thinking, Lord, help me to remain in you, rooted in you. I never want to be separated from you in any way. And he said, verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." I believe this is a season, and I come here by my last sticky. No, I'm doing well on time. Ons is nou eers by 17 minute. Yes. Doen goed. Yes. I believe this is a season, and it's not just me. It's been prophesied over you guys. And I know this man and Joy is carrying, and the leadership of the congregation is carrying it in their hearts. And you can sense it this morning. I mean, we haven't been here for 3 months. But the way that... Hoe het julle nou so gegil? Julle moes so gegil het toe ek ook nou vorentoe gekom het om te preek. It's baie unfair, hoor. You must have been just as excited because I'm coming up to preach as you. But then you guys almost signify to me what is in the Spirit, what the Lord is birthing in the Spirit. That excitement that you guys carry, that would you know how much my stem can be so high? Can you let me do it? Yeah, go for it. Yes. Yes. And I feel that in my spirit, that when they did that, in my spirit, this is how I feel about Grabo. Because there's been prophecy. There's been people coming here. I know even the apostolic guys have been here. And that they said this is going to be a season of fruitfulness for this congregation. But I want to ask you guys that if the fruit comes, Can we be that congregation that is so rooted in Christ that the fruit that does come up glorifies Him and Him only? That the fruit that does come up is fruit that the Spirit actually brought up in us. And it is not through our works and our striving and us doing all the hard work, but it is actually something that flows from us because it is the Holy Spirit that is the oomph, the energy drink, or whatever you want to call it, behind the whole thing, because we're rooted in Christ. And so whatever we do in this next season, whether you are part of a ministry, whether you are coming through into leadership, I love the fact you guys are doing leadership training, and that's why I say I'm so excited for the season and for Craig and Joy leading this congregation. I think they are doing so amazing. The Farmers' Day that you guys had last Sunday, I don't care if any farmers didn't pitch up. You are making proclamations and you are staking a claim in the Spirit in this town like never before as a congregation. And I love that. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit is motivating you guys to move forward in the things of the Spirit. It's amazing. Yeah, so if you are going to do ministry, if you're going to be part of a ministry, I want to ask you, ask yourself this question. What I'm doing next, this thing that I'm being part of, this thing that we're going to launch, Lyndon and Simone, the youth, be rooted in Christ. Ask, Lord, is my motivation, is the reason why I'm pitching up on a Wednesday or on a Friday or on a Sunday morning, Lord, is my motivation rooted in you? And what needs to be that motivation? Love. Love God, love people. Het ek daai skrif nou gemis? Of het ek hom nou net in my kop gemis? Waar is hy dan? No, it's not on the next slide. Ek het my motie. Oh, here it is. This is the next slide. Ek het 'n bladsy geskiep, sorry. Nou moet ek vinniger preek ook, want nou is ek agter met my preek. Ag nee man. 15, John 15. John 15. I have loved you even as my Father have loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confine in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father have told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. And this is what I feel for Grabo in this next season, that God wants to bring fruit that will last for generations. You said it as well. You guys are going to put fruit through. You're going to deal for them from a new youth. And it's going to be something new. But it's going to produce a fruit that is in for the generation after you. Those that are sitting in kids' church now, they are going to pick the fruit of what you guys are going to lay down. But be rooted in Christ in that. And let love be the motivating factor. That's what that whole paragraph is. Love God, love people. That's the bottom line. Love God, love people. If you want to be rooted in Christ, you have to love God. If you want to be rooted in Christ, you have to love His people. Right, now come up with the last blood. So now we're all right. I'm back on track, yeah. We can do all these things because I have to, and it's the right thing to do. It's the Christian needs to do. I want to be like the rest so we can do all of the things of church and look right. But the beautiful thing is, and the godly thing, the thing that when we look back and it glorifies Jesus, is the one when Jesus is the one that directs, gives you the motivation, and He gives you the strength as well. And I think even, I'm thinking back again when we planted Grabo again. If I look back and I look at Willem and who I am as a person and my shortcomings and my failures and my weaknesses, there's absolutely, I'm not a church planter if you look at my raw version of that. But the thing is that Jesus was the one that was our root and our motivation. And that was the only sole reason why we were able to do what we did in those 5 years. Rooted in Jesus. All right. Now, I want to come through. Just this week, I was having a conversation with someone, and I realized that, you know, in some areas, we're going to come short. And I think that's something about our human nature, our default, that will always come up short. And so I don't want to talk about being rooted in Christ, and I don't want to put it almost as something that is unattainable. And I want to make it something to, you know, where everybody walks out here and say, well, then I can't do anything because, you know, that type of rootedness I will never be able to do. And Paul actually speaks in Hebrews 11. I want to just use that quickly. He says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God in ourselves. It is impossible to do these things. So we can't remain rooted in Jesus just because of our sinful nature and the things that surround us and our inability not to be impacted by circumstances and experiences and things that happen around us. Those things are going to impact us, and it's going to impact our ability to be rooted in Christ. And Paul knows that. But that's why he uses that word without faith. And what faith that means, I'm not going to say what the Greek is there. I can't pronounce that word. But what it is that faith is a gift of God. That's what that word means. He says you cannot please God without a gift of God. Now, a gift is not something that you have in yourself. It is something that is given to you. You don't have it in yourself. It is given to you. And when God comes in faith, and that is why I sometimes think it's so unfair when we sometimes walk a journey with someone and that person doesn't have the Holy Spirit in their heart, yet we expect something of them, especially in church. It makes salvation, I'm talking about being born again, such an important, vital, jy kan nie verby dit kom nie. Being born again is the most important step of being able to walk in the things of God. Why? Because it is at that point when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in me. Because without that, nothing will be able to happen. And so I have, and I'm sure you guys also, that sometimes we get people, they get raised within the church, but they never come to a place where they actually accept Jesus as their own Savior. They just get raised in the church, and they do Christian very well. But they never come to a place where they actually know that I need Jesus Christ. I need Him. Without Jesus and without the Holy Spirit in me, I am unable to produce anything that will ever be able to please God. And then sometimes now we walk with people and they hit a ceiling and they don't come to church and they don't do this and they don't do that. And sometimes as leaders now we complain with them and we say, come on. And we try to, you know, try to fan the flame on their behalf. And the problem is not the fact that they don't want to. The problem is that they cannot because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. And then we actually have to take a few steps back and say, hey, I know we've been doing church together for about a year, but I've never asked you this question. Have you ever given your life to Jesus? And he says, no, I've been raised in a Christian home, and I've been a Christian since I can remember. I said, no, have you given your life to Jesus? Have you opened up your heart to a place and a time where you know at this point in time the Holy Spirit came into my life because I gave my life? Because without that moment, a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about will be impossible. Producing fruit that will last, a godly fruit, will be impossible. Because the Bible says only what is birthed out of the Spirit will be able to bring forth fruit of the Spirit. What is birthed out of the flesh will remain flesh. And that's sometimes why we get so tired. That's sometimes why we get to a place where because it's all in me. And we don't find our strength in the Holy Spirit. We don't find the Holy Spirit leading us. I'm the one that has to drive this thing. My morning quiet time and things. So yeah, I'm going to end off with just mentioning five things. Practical things. that God has laid on my heart for, because I want you guys to walk out here not just with, I want you to with something practical this morning. And so there's five things that I felt the Lord laid. The first thing is stay in the Word. If you want to be